2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Now, every business, despite our resistance to it, has got an IT component these days. We've got our computer software, which runs our business systems. We've got computer software that runs our lives almost. It's linked to the internet, plus or minus a few failures, and everything's in the cloud or not in the cloud. And all I manage to do with my business is tangle everything up. I know just enough to break it, which can be all kinds of bad. Today, we're joined by James McCormick. He's from Black and White IT. Now, Black and White IT, after a bit of a chat, seemed like an excellent solution to many of my problems. Apparently, I should just stop messing with it. James, welcome.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no, it's lovely to meet you. Now, what is this IT stuff? Why is it such an essential part of our lives? Can't we just sort of kind of go back to pen, paper and receipt books?
We've handed our lives over to technology, haven't we? We've sleepwalked into this situation that, in my mind, works to my advantage as a professional in offering solutions that... But it's quite scary if you think about it, if it all stopped.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's so many movies, haven't they, where sort of the world ends and there's this big EMF pulse and everything stops working and we end up being Neanderthals within, you know, 3 minutes of it happened. Well, I suppose it's only a short movie, so you've got to be quick. But what would happen, do you think, if we just turned everything off? Would we get our lives back?
That's a very deep question, Jackie, for 8:30 in the morning. But but yes, I do. I have to agree. I think we would... We would revert back to, you know, throwing arrows at each other and making things out of rocks.
Smiley faces, frowny faces and thumbs up out of rocks, I'm assuming.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I think we would have to relearn everything. A lot of our skills that we've developed as humans over thousands of years, over millennia, many of those skills have been lost in the past 3 or 4 decades.
That's such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, we would have to relearn a huge amount, and we're hugely dependent. So, yes, I think not wanting to talk about Armageddon, but I think the alternative is frightening, and I guess that's where people like myself come in to ensure that things do carry on working to avoid that Armageddon scenario.
Yeah, Armageddon, of course, is the change of the world as we know it, and that can happen on various scales. It can be that your office system just completely falls over. You can't send accounts because all of a sudden you can't talk to your software, which is now in the cloud because we don't keep anything locally anymore. And so what is the most common issue that you find that people ring you up going, oh my God, help, James, the world is ending. What does that look like?
I think you're right. I think Armageddon does apply at a micro level, not just to the macro concept. So yes, when things do go pear-shaped in an office environment, for that business, it is Armageddon, it is disaster. They're no longer functioning, they're no longer profitable. So yes, and the kind of scenarios that I get are... Email is down is a really common one.
You would think just get up from your desk and go and talk to someone. Pick up the phone. You'd think that would be a simple solution, wouldn't it?
You would, certainly in a sort of a larger environment. But obviously a lot of us guys in District 32, we're quite small businesses. So our office is somewhat extended. And we're perhaps more dependent on those communication lines being reliant because we're dealing with so many people outside of our companies. So yeah, if you're a one person band, and your email connectivity, your MBN goes down, that is pretty disastrous.
Mine does that all the time. I work from home. I get these, what are they, DSL, DL, some whizzy bang D something or other error, and my entire system goes down. And the feedback I've had was, well, that's because you're using a residential system in a commercial environment. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that I wouldn't care how big the damn thing was at my house. The issue is at the other end.
DSN or DSL?
I don't know. It's a D something or other. Yep. It's the little green light that goes out on my computer system.
Right.
See, this is why I'm the wrong person to talk to.
You're confusing me there, Jackie. I need to read up on that. But yeah, no. So well, yeah, the two common residential technologies that people connect to the internet here in WA is DSL, yep. Digital Subscriber Line, and the other one is NBN, which I saw on the back of somebody's car the other day. Just scrawled on an A4 piece of paper in the rear window, NBN, which, and they wrote underneath No Bloody Network, which I think summarises frustrations.
You're right, because when I had my old connection, I never had any of these issues. And I've come across the NBN because we had to, because that's what our suburb changed to, et cetera, et cetera. And the darn thing, if it's disconnected, it goes down. And then when I go into the little administration thing on my router, that DES, whatever it was, light that they had on, is red. And apparently that's a connection from the other end, and I can't do anything about it until it comes up again. And it just drives me completely and utterly insane. Maybe I should just get a real office that would solve that problem with a real connection.
Yeah, but we should also be able to work from home, shouldn't we? We're in a new world now. Mm. I think NBN, I don't want to get too involved in the politics of it, but as a newcomer to Australia, having been here, it's coming up to 12 months now, but learning about NBN and it's a bit of a hot potato, and it's been a bit of a rushed project, or a project rushed on a bit of a tight budget, shall we say. But it will start to bed in. It's just a little bit painful, you know, growing pains at the moment.
Sounds like dealing with Apple.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so things will get better. The dust will start to settle over the coming years. But for now, we've just got to grin and bear it. And I've subjected myself to the NBN switchover from ADSL.
Yes.
Up in the northern suburbs where I live. And yes, it was painful. And yes, there were many times where I had to follow up and chase, but at least I'm seasoned and experienced in that, and I can obviously help my clients when they inevitably encounter that experience.
So this is something that Black and White IT does. It's obviously not just dealing with NBN issues, but you deal with the whole interface of different computers, computers with systems, computers with clouds.
Yeah, so I manage IT for my clients. There's two kinds of people in business with an attitude to IT. One is they have a degree of knowledge, and they like to try and do things themselves, and they'll have a go, perhaps with the premise that it will save them money.
But then they
discover that actually it's consumed way more of their time, which would probably be better spent doing what they're really good at,
earning the money to pay you.
Exactly. So there's those kind of people, and then there's the other kind of person who just loathes IT. They resent it. They probably would like to go back to, you know, the Bronze Age or Stone Age rather than being dependent on modern technology. And they're the people that are usually very happy to just hand over all responsibility to someone like myself. So I can manage, I can coordinate their whole IT ecosystem, help them, you know, liaising, doing battles with NBN, or, you know, helping, you know, identify the most suitable hardware, the best security that they need, the best productivity office applications. So those are the two kinds of people that I encounter.
I must confess to being the former, the fiddler. And invariably when I fiddle with it, I just break it more. I don't know why. I occasionally can sort it out, but I don't know why I bother. I really should just call someone. So,
too little knowledge is more dangerous than no knowledge sometimes.
True. That is very true. So, is this something that you've always done since the beginnings of computers, or is this something you're reasonably, you know, you're new at? Because, of course, you weren't always in Australia. You mentioned you came a year ago. Mm-hmm. Where did you come from?
Switzerland.
Of course you did.
So we were living in Switzerland for 6 years. And prior to that, the UK.
Okay. Yeah. So were you working IT in Switzerland?
I was indeed, yeah.
You were? Yeah. What are the differences?
What are the differences?
Yeah.
In terms of IT or culture, or?
Well, I mean, people talk about Australia being a little bit backwards and that we've got one of the worst internets in the world, and we're this modern country, you can get better coverage in Indonesia. Do you find that walking to Australia? You felt like you'd walk back to the 60s and we're all sitting there with our little, you know, Amstrad 6128s clacking away?
Not quite back to the 60s. It sort of felt like going back to the early 2000s, I'd say.
Right. So we still have the millennial bug.
With ADSL. ADSL being so widespread still. Switzerland is very fortunate. It's a very compact country, and it's a very wealthy country. And their sort of attitude is you have to do it right first time. There's no back out. So yeah, I was very lucky. My last house, I had fibre in the home, and that was the sort of the basic package, the sort of the cheapy package, and I was getting 200 megabits per second.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, the highest NBN package as of today, we're in December 2018 here, The highest package, home package, is 100. So that's sort of half of the package I had in Switzerland. So speeds are a little bit slower here.
Yeah. See, that's what they sell you. I'm sure that's not what I get.
No, no. Depend on the time of day. Usually about 8 in the evening, everyone's watching Netflix.
I get guaranteed 4:15, 4:20 in the afternoon at my place. Down it goes. Absolutely, and I'll lose it for about 15, 20 minutes. It's like all the kids get home from school, think, oh, do I really have to do my homework? I doubt that's what they're doing. They're probably, as you say, jumping on Fortnite or whatever the latest thingamajigamy is.
Yeah.
And the whole thing's just like someone put it in treacle. And then it stops.
It does, yes. Yeah. There's probably two stages in the day, two cycles in the day. When the school kids get home, and then when the parents have put the kids to bed and they're sat down watching their favourite movies and TV
Isn't
shows.
Crazy. You'd think, though, with the technology that we've got, that you should be able to do... I mean, it's not like it's a surprise, because you can count the houses in an area. You should be able to go, okay, now, assuming if there's 100 houses there, surely at least 80 of them are going to be connected to the internet. So the math shouldn't be that difficult. Or am I missing something really obvious?
I don't think it's a technical problem. I think it's... probably more of a political problem.
Okay.
Well, we won't go there.
We'll leave that right alone.
But in defence of Australia, and that's a big thing, you know, you can't compare Switzerland with Australia. Yeah, Australia is so spread out. You know, the density of a population, for what it costs to cable out a typical WA suburb, that cost would be the same to kit out a town of maybe 20,000 people, because people live cheap by jowl in Switzerland. So you get the economies of scale, whereas here it's a lot more expensive to deploy. So it's not because Australia is backward. It's got an incredible legacy in that it's a huge plot of land with quite a thin population, and that's one of the advantages Europe has.
Or the advantages Australia has, because we like our space.
You do like your space. You like your quarter acre plot and garden and...
You better believe it.
...swimming pool. And that's a knock-on effect.
And is this why you came to Australia?
Absolutely. So I'm not living cheap by jowl. Maybe compromise a bit on internet speed, but in every other way.
But you can open your window without scheduling it with your neighbour.
Exactly. Yeah, you do. That's so true. And, people live in apartments in Switzerland. You know, you have to. You're not allowed to do drilling in the house on a Sunday because of the noise it might make through the apartment block.
No, I'm not that upset with that rule.
And this is another strange one I'll throw in. It's not IT related at all, but yes, if somebody's in the apartment above, men are expected to sit down when using the toilet rather than stood up, which probably most men do here because of the noise it makes. So the noise passes down the ceiling into the house or apartment below, and it's considered disruptive and inconsiderate. In Swiss culture, it's not uncommon that men know the time of day and they will sit to do their business.
Well, there you go. Okay, we're talking about cultural differences. Not only have they got good chocolate, they're also very courteous when it comes to peeing. So one of the big things I find with IT is I have a problem. Sometimes, which I've created myself, granted. But I speak with the IT professional and I don't understand a word that they say. Mm-hmm. I don't need to understand everything, but it would be really nice if I can say, this is my problem. And they don't come back with, oh, that's because you've got an 83 hoozle flop gigawopply. And I go, huh? Don't touch it again. I don't even know what I touched. So can someone have a conversation with you if they've got a problem and they go, and you're actually going to speak to them in English or Swiss, whichever you choose?
Yeah, my Swiss German isn't particularly great, so no, I stick to English, which isn't too bad as a Brummie. There's a lot of IT guys who have fantastic technical skills, but they don't necessarily have the people skills. And that can be a bit difficult with client relationships where an end user is lacking the confidence or the understanding of what's going on. And you've got a very technically competent IT guy speaking to them in their own terms rather than elaborating or translating the technical problems for them. So I like to think that that's where I do have that skill. It, for me, it's very important that the client is on board and understands what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's a bit of a hand-holding process. When I do help with a problem, if the client so wishes, I won't just jump on, fix a problem and then send an invoice. I'll actually you know, guide them through what I've done and why I did it, which maybe is sort of counterintuitive to, you know, having a business that generates repeat business.
You don't want them to break the same problem again.
Exactly. But and I do try and coach, should I say, my end users so they don't make repeat mistakes. But my business model is that they will give their trust in me and they'll come back to me for future new problems, or they will recommend me to other people. I don't want to keep coming back to fix the same problem and invoicing for the same problem over and over again. So yeah, it's very important that knowledge is shared. If they want it, there are some, you know, the second type of end user
who just fix it.
They don't want to hear it. It's like, shut up, James, stop rattling on. I don't want to know, just fix it.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to recognise the types of user. But most of my clients, they actually do want to understand and want to learn from it.
It's always good not to know how you broke it so you don't have to do it again.
Exactly.
Okay, so if we found ourselves that we have sleepwalked into this complete and utter IT world, which I think is, as you say, just one of those things which is just a factor of where we are, both in business and in life at the moment, and we've accidentally perhaps dabbled with something we shouldn't be, and we can't explain it particularly well, so we need to talk to someone who's going to listen, get it, fix it, and explain it back to us, which sounds like black and white IT and obviously yourself all over. What's the best way people can get in contact with you?
Well, they can call me. So, yeah, if your MBN is down, you can't go onto the website to find my details. So that's why I have to give the phone number. So the landline number to call me on is 086555 3056. Mm-hmm. And if your MBN and your computer aren't down, if you wish to come to me via my website, it's blackandwhite.support. And that's it. It's one of the new top level domain names.
So not even a .com.au type thing, just .support.
Blackandwhite.support. Yeah. Type that into your browser or your mobile. And that'll bring up all the details about the services.
And you're quite happy for people to have a chat. They can explain their problem. You can tell them how you can help or not help.
Yep, they can. There's a chat client, so they can connect to me directly from the website. They can call me on the number. They can drop an email. There's so many ways to connect to me. So whichever one works, by all means, try that.
Or you can have coffee. Coffee is always a good way. This is the way Australia does things. Over coffee.
It does. There's a lot of coffee consumed here.
It's very important.
It really is. It's coffee over business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you so much for that. I think that's a very sensible solution and probably who I should call next time I break something. Thank you, James.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.